artists, and then concentrate on the super soul. So they are known as yogis. But Krishna, at the end of the 6th chapter, he says this verse, saying that among all the yogis, all the yogi babas, the topmost of all the yogi is one who is always thinking about me. Madgate nantaratmanaha. Shatthavan bhajate yoma. With lot of faith, he is worshipping me. So that person is the topmost of all the yogis. Now, question arises, okay, accept it, that a devotee is the topmost yogi. Now my question is, how to attain the platform of Shraddhavan Bhajate Umam and Samayuktamo Mata or Yoginam Sarvesha Madgatin Antaratmana. How to do that Madgatin Antaratmana? That is how the 7th chapter starts. 7th chapter is nothing but the answer to this question. What is the question? How to be the topmost yogi? If you want to be the topmost yogi, you should read the 7th chapter. So now here, that question is understood. The Arjuna is not asking a question here, specifically. Oh, my dear Krishna, how to be engrossed always in thinking about you? The 7th chapter starts directly with Krishna speaking. Like you find in the 2nd chapter, actually Bhagavad Gita started from the 11th verse, where Arjuna asked the question. What was the question in the 2nd chapter which Arjuna asked? I am completely confused. I don't know what to do, what not to do. Please tell me what is beneficial for me. So second chapter was spoken by Krishna because Arjuna asked the question. In the second chapter, 7th verse. Now, the 3rd chapter, again Krishna spoke because Arjuna asked a question there. You see the first 2 verses of the 3rd chapter, there is a question by Arjuna. What should I do? Whether I should give up work, whether I should work in devotion. Now Arjuna asked this question in the 3rd chapter, so Krishna spoke 3rd in the 4th chapter, 2 chapters he spoke. After speaking the 2 chapters, Arjuna then speaks, asks another question in the 5th chapter. Actually, it is the same question which he asked in the 3rd chapter. Should I give up work or should I work in devotion? So Krishna again explains the 5th chapter. What is the name of the 5th chapter? Yes, Karma Sannyasa Yoga. So we should know the names of the chapters at fingertips. 18 chapters, 18 names. As soon as like 6th chapter. What? Yeah. 18 chapter. That is 8th chapter. 18th is? So in this way, so Krishna in the Arjuna asks a question in the 5th chapter. So Krishna speaks the 5th chapter. And he also in the 6th chapter, Arjuna asks few questions, but to clarify more about dhyana. In this way Krishna speaks the 6th chapter. But in the 7th chapter, it begins with Sri Bhagavan Vacha. So if you open your Bhagavad Gita's, open the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. You don't find Arjuna saying Arjuna Vacha there. 7th chapter starts with how? Bhagavan Vacha. Now what does Bhagavan says? He says, Mayasakta Manaparta Yogam Munjan Madashreya Asam Shem Samatiram Mam Yada Yasitita Shunu. Mayasakta manaparta. O son of Partha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. So here, there is one very important word in the first verse, which we just now recited. What is the most important word here? Tat shunu. Tat shunu, the last 2 words. You saw that. Tat shunu. Mayasat manaparta yogam munjanadashraya asamshayam samagramma yata yasati tatshrunu. So what is the meaning of tatshrunu? Tatshrunu, try to hear. Tat means what? That. What is that? That by which you can develop maya asattam. You hear from me, by which you can develop maya asattam. Now what is the seventh chapter? You all should know why the seventh chapter is spoken by Krishna. Seventh chapter is spoken by Krishna in an answer to the question. What is the question? How to be the topmost yogi? So how can you become the topmost yogi? By hearing. Tatshrunu means that. By hearing, you can become the topmost yogi. Simple. So what is the topmost yoga system? Hearing. If by hearing, if you can become the topmost yogi, then what is the topmost yoga system? To sit and hear about Krishna. That is the topmost yoga system. So here, Srila Prabhupada introduces this whole seventh chapter by saying, the first hexen is over. We had a question in your this thing. What are the three hex heads? What are the three hex heads? The first six chapters, what are they talking about? Karma Yoga. The second six chapters? Bhakti Yoga, pure devotional service. The third six chapters? Jnana Yoga. Simple. So now the second six chapter, that means seventh chapter to the 12th chapter, that is what? Bhakti Yoga. How does Bhakti Yoga start? By? So you find him. What does Prahlad Maharaj say? Does he say Smaranam? Starts with how? Shravanam. Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. Nine palms of devotional service. There is one question there in the introduction. All of you know that question? You don't know there is a question there? We had one question. What is the question? What are the nine palms of devotional service? So you have written the answer for that. That came in the question paper? Yeah. It is not in the question paper. Okay. It will come in the next. Those who did not attend. Those who did not attend, there is a different question. So fourth of next Sunday, when you come for your exam, then you will have this question. What are the nine forms of devotional service? Should write Shravanam Kirtanam Vishwasthanam. How does it start with Shravanam? Shravanam means hearing. So the same thing, the devotional service starts with what? The seventh chapter. The second six chapters. It is starting with Tatshrunu, means hearing. So in the whole of the purport, Srila Prabhupada glorifies hearing. What is the benefit of hearing about Krishna? So then, in the purport, he quotes five verses. You see in the purport, you have five verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. That is, second chapter of the first canto, starting from 17 till 21st. You have these five verses there in the purport. Everybody noted what are the five verses? Very important verses. ISKCON is totally based on these five verses. Srila Prabhupada, when he went to America, is just approaching America, Houston Harbor. Then he wrote two bhajans. You should know, Prabhupada wrote two bhajans on the ship when he was traveling. He was just approaching America. Then he saw, like when you approach any port, the whole port area is very dirty. I don't know how you have to be to Masjid Bandar or some places like that. Very stinking, all kinds of kasal is there. all kinds of so-called restaurants, bars, and all these things. So Prabhupada saw all these things from the ship itself when he started writing on bhajan. So when he wrote that bhajan, in that bhajan, he writes, how can these people be delivered? They are into so much of filthy condition, living condition. Especially if you go outside and then go to some areas like port side or some industrial area, you find how degraded the whole civilization has gone to. It's so dirty, always the four sinful activities, opportunity for sinful activities are rampant there. So Prabhupada is looking at that whole situation and then he is thinking how such people in such a degraded condition of life, how they can be delivered. So he asks the question, how can they be delivered? Immediately he says that I have complete faith that in the process, I have complete faith in the process of devotional service that by hearing about your glories, my dear Krishna, that these people will give up their rajas and tamo bhava. So that process is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The process by which one, even in such a filthy condition of degraded life, can be elevated to the type of Paramahamsa. So these are the five verses which talk about the process by which one can get out of this filthy condition of completely intoxication, sexual activity, and what not, degraded form of life. How can one get out of it? So Srila Prabhupada was looking at the whole degraded condition and immediately remembered these five shlokas. Yes, these five shlokas of the Bhagavatam are a hope for me. So that is why he says, Krishna, my dear Krishna, you give me the strength in my words so that my words can influence them. Very nice bhajan. Those of you who got the song book, should go to their house and then you have to see those two bhajans. It is there in the song book. And then see these five shlokas are put in. And you will remember this. It is, there are something like five shlokas which are quoted from the Bhagavad, in the Bhagavad Gita as well as Prabhupada quoted in the song book. So what are these five shlokas? I'll just recite them. Just those of you can recite along. Okay. शृणुताम सगत कृष्ण पुण्यश्रवण कीर्तना दंतस्तो भद्राणी विदुनोति सुवृक्षता नष्ट प्रायेश भद्रेशो नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी तथार्थस्तमो भाव कामलोकादयश्चये चेतैतेरनाविद्धं स्थितं सत्त्वे प्रसीदति एवं प्रसन्न मनसो भगवत भक्ति योगत भगवत तत्व विज्ञान प्रसंगस्य जायते विद्यते हृदय हृदय चिन्तन्ते सर्व संशया क्षीयन्ते चास्य कर्माणि दृष्टे वा मनीष्यते. So these five verses, and Prabhupada also writes a translation in the book, in the purport of the five verses. How? By hearing about Krishna, Srinvatam. Srinvatam means by hearing about Krishna. So when you hear about Krishna, what happens? Nidantastoy abhadrani vidunoti. Abhadrani vidunoti. Abhadra means all the insecure feelings in my heart. Prabhupada writes in translation. You just see. To hear about Krishna from the Vedic literatures or to hear from him directly through Bhagavad Gita is itself righteous activity. And for one who hears about Krishna, who is dwelling in the heart of everyone, acts as the best well-wishing friend and purifies the devotee who constantly engages in hearing about him. So the first and foremost thing is to hear about Krishna. Now if you see from one point of view, what is devotion? Devotion means to develop love for Krishna. Now how can we develop love by hearing about somebody? How to develop love to Krishna? How can anybody develop love just by hearing about a person? You may ask. There is a very famous example which is quoted for that. In a family there is a grown-up daughter and the father is trying to look a suitable bridegroom for the daughter. So there he is going out in the morning to meet different people. And every day he comes back. And the wife generally asks, have you met any nice boy who can accept the hand of her daughter? One day, he goes out and he comes back at night, very much tired. And it so happened that on that day, when the wife was serving her husband, she asked a question, did you find any suitable match for her daughter? So it so happened on that day, the door was kept open and the daughter who was staying in the next room was able to listen to the conversation. As soon as the conversation was this, with this aspect, immediately her ears became very attentive. Oh, so my father is going to speak about somebody, must have seen somebody. Let me hear more attentively. So with all her attention, she was listening to the conversation. So when the wife asked the husband, that means her mother asked her father, how was the luck today? Then the father told, yes, today I have met a very nice family. I found a very suitable boy. And then the wife asked, how is he looking? And the father started explaining, describing the looks of the boy and the qualities of the boy. He's like that, he's like this. The conversation went on and on. And gradually this lady, this young lady who is sitting in another room, she is listening to the conversation. Now just by listening to the qualities of the boy, how does he look, etc., etc., she within her heart has developed love for him. She has not seen him. Nothing. Just by hearing about the boy, and that too, next room somebody is speaking to somebody, that's all. So that creates an impression in the heart of the young lady. And she always starts thinking about him and then falls in love with him. Just by hearing about him. Like if we find, even in the Bhagavatam, a typical example of how just by hearing about Krishna one can fall in love with Krishna is that of example of Rukmini. Rukmini had never seen Krishna before. Never met Krishna before. And just by hearing about the glories of Krishna, Rukmini had developed love for Krishna. And then she writes a transcendental love letter which is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, saying that Krishna, you protect me. I have been taken away by these cruel people. My brother Rukmini wants to get me married to Duryodhana. Shishupala. I don't want this to happen. This is the time it is happening and you must just come and rescue me. I just want to get married to you and nobody else. So then Krishna comes and kidnaps him. So just by hearing about Krishna, one can develop love for Krishna. It's the same thing. So that is why devotion means actually it starts by hearing about Krishna. When somebody starts hearing about Krishna, immediately Srimatam Sukata Krishna, automatically there is some kind of love about Krishna. But if somebody wants to have this state of mind constantly, that means have this bhaktir bhavati, naishtiki bhakti, what is one supposed to do? If somebody wants to have naishtiki bhakti, even though he does not like to listen, he should sit and listen. Like initially, when somebody falls sick, he is given, okay, the child falls sick, he is given a small chocolate, oh, let us go to the doctor. The doctor, gives all the tricks and everything, and he now gives injection. It's very painful. But as the child grows, what happens? When he becomes a man, when he falls sick, he doesn't require any more chocolates. He personally will go to the doctor and ask the doctor, I want the injection. So, in the initial stages of Krishna consciousness, the devotees, they require some kind of motive to come and visit for Krishna. But after some time, what should be the motive? The motive is that I want to understand more and more Krishna. I want to know more about Krishna. So even though I don't like, still I will go and sit and listen about Krishna. Even though, there are so many engagements, but the priority is to know more about Krishna. Priority is Krishna consciousness. So the first shloka in these five verses, they are talking about general people, the time nilaya to aayenge. But still that is also purified. But the second shloka in the five verses, that is nashta praveshu bhadreshu. This shloka is very much conversant. Devotees are conversant with this shloka. Why? Why it is conversant? The devotees are conversant with this shloka. Oh, recited before every class. Every time you sit in the Bhagavatam class, two shlokas are recited. What are the two shlokas? Nashta prayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavat sevaya. That is all the devotees know this. Those who attend the Bhagavatam class. And what is the other shloka? Narayana namaskrityam naram cheva narottamam. These two shlokas are recited. Anyway. So in this way, the whole process can be discussed, but that is not the subject for now. Sometime else when we discuss the Bhagavatam, words by words, or as a course, then we will be discussing these five verses as an importance. But we should understand that devotion means love for Krishna, and love for Krishna can be developed just by hearing about Krishna. So devotional service starts from hearing about Krishna. It starts with this, hearing about Krishna. Okay? So it's a very important purport for the 7th chapter, first verse. Now, you may say, okay, now you are talking about Krishna, I am going to give knowledge, but Krishna says, my dear Arjuna, the glory of the knowledge which I am going to speak to you, which you are going to listen, is that there is nothing beyond this. Once you know of this, know the truth about me. Naya bhuvyam yajnatavyam avashishyate, the second verse says. Naya bhuvyam yajnatavyam avashishyate, there is nothing left to be known. Once you know what I am going to speak now. That is the glory of this knowledge. Going further, he says, you know who is going to get this knowledge? There are so many people trying to achieve perfection. Thousands and thousands of people. This, you see, you go to some famous temples, even some northern some temples here, which is made famous by some film stars. So, thousands and thousands of people go, but they are not trying for perfection. They are just going because other person is going. They are thinking that I will get some material benefit out of it. Not only among them, those who are trying for perfection, manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit insitagit. Out of millions and millions of people who are just visiting different temples, one person, hardly, kaschit yadati siddhet. One person wants to know the truth. Why? What is the goal of my life? Who am I? I'm going to die. What am I supposed to do? Very few people. Like, suppose for example, somebody is organizing a Bhagavad Gita course or doing some program. You distribute for 20,000 handouts. How many will get? Maybe 10, 15. Why? They are all star. And very few are interested. I want to know the truth. I want to know. So, kaschit yatat siddhet yadatavapi siddhanam. Out of many people who are trying for perfection, only one or two attain perfection. Yadatavapi siddhanam kaschit mahamvipratatah. Among those people who attain perfection, very few people know about me, know the truth about me. So the knowledge about Krishna, that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the source of everything. It is not so easy for people to accept. Actually, one who has accepted Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead and he is the source for everything, is a very rare person. Very few people. Just go. So many billions and billions of people just even responsible. And all these people are so ignorant about Krishna consciousness. Very few. Very few people come to the temple. Among those people who come to the temple, there are very few people who want to know the truth. And among those people who want to know the truth, very few just come to know about this knowledge. Just imagine, such a deep and wonderful knowledge. How many people are in this world already studying it? Somebody makes one really horrible and very stupid and idiotic movie, and millions of people are looking at it. I was just thinking yesterday, I was in the bus, I played a movie. I didn't want to see, but I could just put down. You can't just tap ears and put some cough. Such a stupid thing. It is like a 5-year-old, 6-year-old boy, it's a mental speculation. They all speak something or think something. That was presented in the Victorian form with all the musical effects and all this. Just doesn't have any reality, any existence. There's no message conveyed. Nothing is there. And people are laughing and they're thinking that is ultimate. I'm just thinking, we are doing some deep study. Where are the audience for this? There are no audience. Anyhow. Then immediately I start thinking that, then imagine what is the rarity, what is the value of the person who just even accepts Krishna's Supreme Personality of God. Anybody who just comes to the temple, he is also very rare. Among those people who wants to know about Krishna and they are sitting in a class, they are actually the most purified gems. That is very rare, very fortunate. Now Krishna starts explaining, what is that knowledge about me which is actually making people so fortunate? The knowledge is spoken from the fourth verse till the tenth verse. Tenth verse, I suppose. Yeah. What is the first section? Seventh verse? Eight? First to seven. So fourth to seventh, Krishna in general, he speaks about that everything is emanating from him. Whatever you see in this world, it is all from Krishna. Bhumirakulalo varakam manabuddhireva chandukarvatim mebhina prakritashtida avrayamitasthanyam prakritamidhime pramjiyam utam mahavavayen dharate jagat. Yetadyoni bhutani sarvani tripudare aham krishnas jagata prabhat pralayastita matta paradhanam nanyati chidanjaya mai saradam kokam sutre manyanandha. These four verses, 4, 5, 6, 7, he is talking about what? In summary, we are not going to the details. In summary, what is he talking about? Everything what you see, whether matter or spirit, material world or spiritual world, everything is coming out of me, means Krishna, not me. You know the Christian concept? What is the Christian concept? They believe only in one life. Yeah. Actually, they believe that life exists after death, but they don't say that you take up another body. Yes. And they say if you are good, you will go to heaven. If you are bad, you will go to hell. And that is like, they don't speak it much because a lot of unanswered questions are there regarding this. There are many points in Bible also they talk. But one very dangerous philosophy what they got is, they say God is there and Saturn. They say Saturn in English, Shaitan in Hindi. They say these two people are very powerful and both are fighting. And they have independent powers of their own. They have independent powers of their own. They don't accept the Shaitan is also getting power from God. That concept they don't understand. They say, no, how can God give power to Shaitan? Shaitan has God. Where did he get the power from? Like when Hiranyakashipu asked Bala, where are you getting this all this strength from? What Bala said? I am getting a strength from the same person where you are getting from. So this is a very complicated thing. How can God give energy to an evil person so that he can do evil deeds? So they say there is so much of evil going on. This evil is going on because the evil person is giving them energy, giving them strength. No. Vedic Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that everything is actually emanating from me. All the energy. Even if somebody is going and trying to destroy something or doing some sinful activity, to do the sinful activity requires something. Krishna, even the liquor is coming out of Krishna. It's bad, but who created it? Krishna only created it. It is not coming from some asura and Krishna is there asking asura not to give and they are fighting. No, 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 it doesn't happen. Krishna has created everything, both matter and spirit. He says, Bhumi Apanalo Vayutam Mano Buddhireva Ankarati and Me Pinna Prakna Drashtra. Everything is created by Krishna. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Mind, intelligence and false ego. Everything is created by Krishna. Everything is coming out. Janma Adiyasya. There is only one source for everything. So we will not discuss details about this. Ultimately this section is talking about Krishna is a source for both matter and spirit. Nothing is independent of Krishna. Everything is dependent on Krishna. And matta paratram nanya, there is nothing superior to me. And there is nothing equal to me. Amai saravidam bhavatam. Everything is existing on me. In this way Krishna speaks these verses. Now starting from the 8th verse. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, yes. These verses are talking about how Krishna is present. These verses, 8 to 12, they are talking about Krishna describes how he is the essence of everything. If Krishna is the origin and essence of everything, as explained in 4:12, why do some people not recognize him as the Supreme Personality of God? That is explained in 13-14. So, starting from 8 to 12, these verses are talking about if you drink water, you find some taste out of water. In other words, you are able to taste because of water. Taste is actually coming out, is the essence of water. If the saliva is not on the tongue, even if you put sweet, the tongue will not be able to recognize the sweetness of the sweet. It is the water which is making the taste come out. It is the water which is actually making anything. You find eat anything tasty, but it is tasting, you are able to taste it because of water. That is why Krishna says, Raso Hamapsu Kaunteya Prabha Asmi Shashishuryayo, in 8th verse. Raso Hamapsu Kaunteya, I am the taste in water. And the light in the sun. If there is no light, can you say the sun is sun? So light is the essence of the sun and the moon. If you remove Om from the Vedic mantra doesn't have any value. If you remove the taste out of the water, then water doesn't have any value. In other words, Krishna is saying that I am the taste in water. That means I am the essence of everything. That means when you see things in this world, if you don't understand me through these things in this world, that means you have actually not understood them. Like the scientists, they are trying to make some research in water. Oh, they are trying to, which molecule is that, which atom is that, what is the combination, what is the bonding, what kind of structure is this molecule, they are trying to make out. But in spite of all the research, they don't see a black person holding a proof behind all these things. What is the use? So in all the research, ultimately they have to reach Krishna. So if they don't find that, water research, you do research in water and then conclude that hydrogen is there, oxygen is there, one molecule of hydrogen, not two molecules of hydrogen, and, sorry, two atoms of hydrogen and one atom of oxygen, it becomes water. Yeah, H2O and so much of oxygen is there, so much of hydrogen is there, why don't they mix? No, no, actually, you know, you require some conditions for it. But when you have the conditions, they become water. When you remove the conditions, why don't they become again? So many unanswered questions are there. So my chemistry team professor was completely fried with me because I used to ask this question. So if you have this, how can you separate? No, it's very difficult. You have to put a lot of energy to separate. But once you separate, once you remove the energy, they should again combine. But why are they combining? So many unanswered things. Now they say, no, no, actually there is a negative, positive, then positive, wrong. Whole point is, they just don't know Krishna is behind everything. If they know Krishna is behind everything, then you can know the working of everything. So the whole 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th and 12th is talking about Krishna is the essence of everything. Like we know once Srila Prabhupada, Vaisal, he was along with all his disciples. Then it was there when Gaudiya Math, the Swamiji over there, he invited Prabhupada and all the disciples to have prasadam in Gaudiya Math. It was just in the ocean here in the Bay of Bengal, the beach. So there when simple devotee was there, he cooked prasadam for 30-40 disciples of Prabhupada. He alone cooked everything. At that time these people all took bath. And he put a lot of prasadam, then made everybody sit and he served everybody. And after everybody was served, he moved the plates, put them away. And then he was sitting in some parlor and he was eating prasadam. Then Prabhupada showed all the disciples, you see, he is a Vaishnava. Vaishnava means what? One who is a servant is a servant. So he has served everybody and whatever is left by God's mercy, he is just accepting it. So that is Vaishnava. And then he told his disciples, now you go and then swim in the ocean. So they all went to swim in the ocean. One devotee was sitting in the corner and he was chanting. Prabhupada told, yeah, you did not go for swimming. Then this devotee told, Prabhupada, swimming in ocean and is all Maya. And Prabhupada told, oh, it's Maya. That means I told these my disciples to go to swim. That means I told them to go to Maya. Then Prabhupada called his disciple and took him to the ocean. And then told, you see the sun? Do you remember what did I say to the sun? Yeah, Brahma Samhita says, Yek Chakshure Shantasala Grana. It is one of the eyes of Krishna. So Krishna, you cannot see Krishna there. Now what does Krishna say about the ocean, Sarasara, Sagara, among the different lakes, among lakes and the ocean? And what does Krishna say about water and the taste in water, isn't it? And not only that, the ocean water is the thing which actually gives you taste because of water. At the same time, without salt you cannot take anything. Salt is also there inside that. So both are there. So can't you not see Krishna here? This time I'll do. Yeah, you can see. So go and swim. Okay. So ultimately to understand everything is, the essence of everything is Krishna. That's balam balavatam saham kama raga vivarjitam dharma avirdho bhuteshu kama vaskun maratashrama. Even it's a very important line here, 11th verse. Many people discuss this verse. So, even the lust, spiritual life means we always talk against lust. No lust, no sex. But here Krishna says, I am lust, I am that sex. What kind of sense? Dharma aviruddhau. That is to procreate Krishna conscious children. With that motive, if somebody indulges in sexual activity, with the motive of producing Krishna conscious children, that act, that is also Krishna. That is Krishna. Dharma aviruddhau. Bhuteshu, kamosmi, I am lust. In the third chapter, Krishna says, oh, lust is the greatest enemy. But here he says, I am the lust. At the same time, I am your friend. How do you understand? Dharma aviruddha, that is the most important. There is an adjective for it. There was one boy who was very much inspired by this shloka. He is actually my friend in my college days. Somehow or other, he was showing that the whole Bhagavad Gita is talking about how you should just enjoy this world. He was a follower of so-called Bhagwan. You all know who is he. It's even simple to take his name. We don't want to take his name. So he was just going around. I don't know how he got this. There are so many shlokas. Because Krishna is Paramatma in everybody's heart. So he will inspire you to only see those things which you want. So immediately he got this. He says, Kamosmi Vardasma, he says Krishna. He says, I am sex life. So even your Krishna is sex life. So I am also Krishna conscious. Actually the real essence of our philosophy is spoken by my guru. This is the best shloka in Bhagavad Gita. Then I told him, you see, there is one adjective for it. You have to see that. Dharma aviruddha. Performed according to religious principles. That means, you get married and then for producing Krishna conscious children, I'm sorry. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur used to say, if I were to produce Krishna conscious children, I wouldn't mind having sex hundreds of times. I wouldn't mind. He was a sannyasi, he was a brahmachari, what he was speaking. Okay. So this is that means the essence of everything in this world, whatever you see, you have to see Krishna. Prabhupada used to say, if you are a scientist, you have to see Krishna in your science. If you are a businessman, you have to see Krishna in your business. If you are anything, just have to see Krishna in everything. That is called being Krishna conscious. Krishna conscious means to be conscious of Krishna and to see Krishna in every aspect of your life, in everything what you be, in every occasion, in every situation. One has to see Krishna. So very nice verses this. Help us. Now he says, what to speak of just different things? I am going to summarize the whole thing. The 12th verse summarizes the whole thing and saying that, oh, yete sattvika bhava radasa tamasasche matta evaiti tam vidhit natu aham teshu te mahi. The 12th verse says, Krishna, know that whatever state in this world, what you find is only sattva radastama. What you see behind these things is sattva rajastama, and behind sattva rajastama or goodness, passion, ignorance, it's only just because of me. Krishna says, I am not under the modes material nature, for they are contrary within me. Anyway, this details about this particular verse will be discussed in higher levels of our courses. Now, 13th and 14th verse talk about one very important question. Why do some people not recognize him as the Supreme Personality of God? Why? Because of being bewildered by the modes of material nature. Why? Why people don't accept Krishna as Supreme Personality of God? Bhagavad Gita says, we are saying everything in spite of that. Why? That is what Krishna says. Tribir gunamai in the 13th verse. Tribir gunamai bhavai rebi mohitam navijanati mamebhyaha paramabheyam sarvavidam jagat dhaiviyeshu gunamai mama adhruttaya mamevai prabhantyanti mamevai tantaranti. In these two verses Krishna says, why people don't understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Why people don't accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And who can accept Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead? And why we are the people who can accept Krishna, Krishna's Supreme Personality and Godhead. Three questions answered. The first question is, why people are not accepting Krishna's Supreme Personality? Why? Being bewildered by the modes. The detailed explanation of the modes is very difficult to give now. When we go to the 14th chapter, we will have detailed explanation of the modes of the real nature. Sattva guna, rajoguna, tamoguna, mode of goodness, passion, ignorance. Because of being influenced by mode of goodness, people are thinking, oh, all gods are same. Just worship one God, one personal. Being influenced by mode of passion, he says, why do you talk about another God? See, human being is God. You love human beings. Somebody told, my wife is God for me. Why? Because she is giving me enjoyment. So who are giving you enjoyment? They are God. The moment somebody stops giving you enjoyment, somebody else is God. So that is passion. Ignorance means, why go for any other God? I am here sitting. I am God. So being influenced by the modes of material nature, everybody are influenced and they are not accepting Krishna's Supreme Personality of God. So now Krishna says, who can understand the Supreme Personality of God? He says, Mame Vaya Prabhadyante. Those who surrender to me, they only can transcend the modes because I am the controller of the modes. It is very difficult. Telling you, it is very difficult to understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, it is good. Why? Because we are all influenced by moments. Sattva, rajas, tama. Every moment we are thinking, I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. The moment you think, I am the enjoyer, that moment you forgot that Krishna is the enjoyer. The moment I think, oh, why did it not happen like I wanted it to happen? Then you thought, I am the controller, you forgot Krishna is the real controller. So how can you come to this understanding? When only when you surrender to Krishna, we can conquer the modes. These modes, sattva, rajas, tama, are being completely controlled by Krishna. He says, Daivi esha gunamayi ma, mama maya vrittaya. It is very difficult to cross over the modes of imagination. When you surrender to Krishna, you can conquer the modes. I always give this example of, suppose a hefty looking guy is there, very powerful person. And in a classroom, he is there, and there is one thin looking boy, very weak. This empty guy comes and bashes him up, he just throws him here and then plays around, makes fun of him. And he is completely fed up. Then what this boy should do? He should go and then take shelter of another heavy looking person who is more powerful than him. He just have to go and say, oh, you see that boy is beating me, he is thrashing me. And he says, now you have come to my shelter, don't worry, I will take care of it. So when he comes to tease him, then this another big happy looking, more powerful than him, he says, get out of my sight, yes. Then he runs away. So this living entity, as we are all being completely thrashed and bashed by these material modes. This Maya is thrashing us every time. We want something to happen, like it doesn't happen. So much of miseries are coming. Maya is troubling us. So Maya is troubling us. Maya is very powerful. By your own strength you cannot conquer Maya. Just imagine, Maya is whose energy? Ultimately Krishna's energy only. So then what you should do? You should look out for who is stronger than Maya. Who is stronger than Maya? Krishna is stronger than Maya. So when you surrender to Krishna, then what does Krishna do? Maya says, this is Maya, yes, quite miscombination. That is why Krishna says, Mami vaye prapadyante, maya vitam samsire. Now starting from the 15th verse to the 19th verse, Krishna talks about Four kinds of people who surrender to Krishna and four kinds of people who do not surrender to Krishna. It is just one question, so you can read the purports and understand. I am not going to explain it now. Just, it is for your homework. And who is the best of the four kind of people who surrender to Krishna? It's Jnani. This section is your homework. I am not going to explain. Prabhupada gives elaborate purports to it and it is written very nicely. The first section, that is till now, these verses, 14th verse, it requires an explanation because they are a little bit, until unless you get the essence out of it, very difficult to convey. I really understand. That is why it took a little more time to this section, till 14th verse. Now Krishna says, those who surrender to me, they can conquer over Maya. Then, who are the people who surrender to Krishna? There are four kinds of people. There are four kinds of people who do not surrender to Krishna. They are there in the translations and in the purports also. And one of the questions is there. You can read them peacefully, nicely you can read them. Now, why people do not surrender to Krishna? Without surrendering to Krishna, they are surrendering to the demigods. Why? That is what Krishna explains in the 20th verse onwards till the 25th verse. That is a topic relating to the demigods. Says Kamaishtaisthir Dakyana Pravatyanti and Deva. Tamtam Nivastaya Prakrityanita Sriya. So this is also for your whole world. So the last section of the 7th chapter, in that Krishna talks about how the living entity is bewildered by the modes of material nature and his freedom through the knowledge about Krishna. How he can become free by the knowledge about Krishna. How the living entity is bound and how the living entity can become liberated. So open the 27th verse. This verse talks about why the living entity becomes bound by the material nature. Why are we here? Some people ask, oh, you're talking, it is true, I accept. Why did we come here? Come to this material world. An intelligent person who is in the jail, he asks, oh, why did I come to jail? If you know why you came to this world, then you can know how you can get out of this world. If you know where you have done mistake, then there is a chance of rectifying the mistake and doing something right. You cannot do something right without knowing where you have gone wrong. Like if a person who is in the jail, he doesn't know why he is in the jail. Can he really go back, get out of the jail? No. So it is always important to know where, what is wrong, what is right. So why did we come here? That is what is explained in 27th verse. Very important. That is the only verse which we are going to discuss for this today. What is the reason for our coming to this stupid, idiotic, material world? Useless world, like compared to a jail, full of suffering. Why did we come here? It says, Icha Vesha Samutvena Dvandva Mohena Bharata Sarva Bhutani Sammoham Sarge Yanti. Sarga means this creation. Sarga means what? How is it proper translated here? While taking birth, Sarge Yanti means goes parantara. O conqueror of foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by the dualities arising from desire and hatred. Because of Icha and Dvesha, desire and hatred. I like this, I don't like this. Because I am the enjoyer. For my enjoyment, this is the problem. It is creating some problem in my enjoyment. So I hate it. Oh, this is going to give me enjoyment, so I love it. So Ichcha means what? Desire. Dvesha means hate. So because of desire and hatred, that means desire and hatred comes out of what? Comes out of tendency to enjoy. And why somebody has a tendency to enjoy? Say for example, you're just walking peacefully in the road, no problem. The child is going around and he's happy, quite happy with his father. And he has just now had whatever he wanted from his father. And his stomach is also very much full, nothing can really go inside now. And he's going around. Then he sees the ice cream parlor. Oh, he says, yeah, it will be nice if I had the ice cream. But okay. And he goes further. And there he sees another ice cream parlor. Not only there is ice cream parlor, there is a small kid who is eating. Oh, he is eating, I don't have. I want to enjoy. So actually, you are completely full. You don't, everything is there. You just cannot even enjoy that ice cream now. Because you can only take and just try to lick it. Even that's going to be really harmful to you. That's not going to give you really enjoyment. But because of that person is having, I don't have. What is this called? Envy. So this envy gives rise the tendency to enjoy something which you don't require. Actually, if there is a requirement, that's okay. That doesn't, you don't require it. And this tendency to enjoy creates this duality. What is this? I like it, I don't like it. I like this person, I don't like this person. Why? Why? I like him because he is giving me enjoyment. I don't like him because he is giving me suffering. He is not helping me in my enjoyment. I like him. Oh, very nice. He's a very nice person. Because whatever I say, he accepts. He says yes. I don't like him because I say, he says something else. Simple. But my dear fool, both are living entities. We are part and parcel of Krishna, being bound by material modes. Why don't you see that? That's called seeing to the eyes of the mind. So, Ichcha Vesha Samutvena Dvandvamohena Bharata. So this is the whole thing. Why we are being bound in this, why we came to this material world? Esha Vandagatam Bapam Jananam Punyakarmanam Te Dvandvamoha Vimukta Vrante Maam Dabvata Jaravana Mokshaya Maam Vashitaya Tantite Te Brahma Tadvidho Krishnam Madhyatmam Karma Cha Kilam. That's wonderful verses where Krishna explains that how you can come back to me since you know this Ichcha and Dvesha are the problems. So give up this Ichcha and Dvesha. How can you give up this Ichcha and Dvesha? When you do devotional service. Bhajante maam vidavrata. When you do the 28th verse, the last line says Bhajante maam vidavrata. When you give up all the sinful activities, at the same time perform my devotional service, then you can come back. So these are the topics. That's how we end the 7th chapter. And Krishna speaks some complicated terms in the end of the 7th chapter. And Arjuna asks, what do they mean? This is a question, the 8th chapter by Arjuna. So we'll discuss the questions and finish up today. Questions, question bank. Any questions? Yes. Because they don't know that they can die any time. So when you say, like a bad student, I don't say bad student, that is, a student who is not very serious, he will say, oh, exam to April mein hai, abhi padh ke kya fayda? But when the exams come nearby, he is working hard and doing so many things, but he fails. Because he is not such a good student. He is not sincere. He is not a sincere student. A sincere student, he knows, okay, my exams are there, I have to prepare for it. Now, this exam called death can come any time. So that means those people who say, oh, jab retire honge, tab bhajan karenge, tab karenge, when we do that. That means they don't know, they can die any time. If somebody knows, I can die any time, he doesn't waste his time. He doesn't waste his time, he takes it seriously. So that is why the first teaching which we have to give to people is that you are suffering. Understand that you are suffering. Suppose you are diseased. You will not wait for the disease to become chronic to go to the doctor. If you are doing that, you are a big fool. The priority is to go and just cure your disease first. Because the more the time goes, the more the disease. So the material fever is so much. It is increasing day by day. Then you become very tired. Generally I say, and people say, oh well, this is all for meant for old age. In old age you cannot do the devotion of having prasadam also. If I give you a rasgulla, you say, oh, this rasgulla is just offered to Radha Giridhari. Why don't you have this prasadam? Takes it. And says, I have got diabetes. The simplest devotional service of eating rasgulla cannot be done at the old age. What to speak of anything else? If you have suppose somebody gives you on your birthday, comes and says, take this nice, wonderful, beautiful flower which I plucked about a year back, it is rotten. I have kept it in my safe for a long time, just waiting for the day to come. No. Why you offer to Krishna something which is rotten? When the world body has become rotten, then there is nothing else you do. No, it doesn't work. So we repeat it. Yeah, because they want to do it. Krishna has made this world so that you can try to satisfy your desires. Why? We have to see why Krishna made this material world. Why? Ichha Dvesha. To accommodate our desire, the tendency to desire, tendency to hate. So he has created this world for us, for all the criminals. And he has given an opportunity for everybody to try to execute their criminal mentality. And if somebody wants to get out of the jail, he has given an opportunity for that also. Both the opportunities are given. Both. Like when the government suppose it is designing a city. In one part of the city they make a jail. No, why they made the jail? They knew there are some criminals will be there, so we have to give an opportunity for them. They always have police department. Why? Because there will be some people who will be criminals. So Krishna gives the opportunity for them. He cannot just come and interfere. He will not come and interfere into independence. So, no, you cannot just force anybody. Krishna also doesn't force. Even after telling the whole Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, what did Krishna say to Arjuna? Yatha ichasi kakuru. I told whatever I tell, so now you do what you want to do. Start teaching. Okay, any more questions? Okay. What is the best way of understanding Krishna? By hearing about him? Okay. What are the eight separated elements of Krishna? Translation of text number 4. Bhuvinapurnamaya. Lord is all pervasive. Explain. 8 words per foot, very good. 4 classes of men functioning in the 3 material modes of nature. 13th verse, okay. Purport, but 13th verse purport. What is the significance of Maam Eva? 14th verse, second paragraph, last paragraph. Okay. Name the 4 kinds of impious persons. 15th verse translation. Name the 4 kinds of pious persons who serve the Krishna. Acha, when you are getting this question, you definitely get this question. We are giving a 5 marks question, when it comes to the 5 marks question, you have to explain one line about each one, at least one or two lines about each one. 4 kinds of people are there. What is the first kind of person who doesn't surrender to Krishna? Duskritina. So what is the meaning of Duskritina? And who are they? Just one or two lines about. A Prabhupada writes, in Purport you will find it. I am giving this as a homework to you. No copying. You have to individually go and then find out. No copying. Nobody should show their answers to this. These two are definitely going to come. 5 marks questions. 5 marks for 4 people who do not surrender. 5 marks for those who surrender. So you will have 10 marks already if you really work hard on this. These verses. Just 2 verses. Name the 4 kinds of... Okay, that's over. Name the 4 kinds of... 8 verses. Write a few points on demigod worship. 28 verses. You just go to those verses which talk about demigod worship. That is 25th. This is also a definite question. 5 marks question. What is the reason for our bondage and how can we attain liberation? I have given all the answers. Answer I gave because it's difficult to really get that. Okay? Hare Krishna. Any questions? So all of you are prepared for next exam, that is on 4th, who have not attended. Who did not give them? You should not cross our Bhagavad Gita. Huh? You are not given the exam. How many of you are not given the exam? And you are a betterment. Betterment, improving the exam. Okay, improving your marks. So all of you are given the exams. You also should write the exams. Okay. So work hard for the whole week. And every next week, who is performing? Yeah, Brahmacharya is in Kalpeshwar is performing. Okay, those who are not there last time, we divide into groups. You all were in groups, everybody has their groups, no? Yeah. You who are not there? Last time you were not there. You are not there. Who were not there last time? Then we divided into groups. 1, 2. You are also not there? But you are not put into any group. You are not put into any group. Okay, you 3 can take up 1 group. Mansi, Krishna and Mani. So all 3 can take, you 3 can take into 1 group. Others are all set into groups. You are also your group. Where are your group people? One is Ashram. Oh, yeah. So you know your group. So you are part of it. Huh? Okay, but you know your groups. Everybody knows your groups and hope you are not forgotten. So topic for you will be